Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Today, I have the pleasure of having Sharon McGrill, who owns the Baby Berate. If you have any questions, please give me a call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room and reread it on the air. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great. I guess tell us about your company, how did you start, and a little background about yourself.
Sure. Well, when I first started my company, I got downsized from my corporate job, and this is maybe 10 years ago, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I made a list of all the things that I knew how to do, and that's kind of how the Baby Berate was born. It's a personal assistance and concierge company, and we really focus on helping people in their homes rather than yes, we do restaurant reservations, and yes, we can get you tickets, but we really focus on your home life.
Okay. When you talk about your home life, I mean, it's like the assistant for the mom who's trying to coordinate everything in her household, from, you know, kids' soccer schedules to rehearsals and performances. Kind of give us an idea about what's the depth of your services that you offer.
Sure. So, yes, we do all of those things, helping busy moms, but we also work a lot with executives and help them just maintain their homes, everything from taking care of the hot tub and having the gutters cleaned out and making sure that the garage door that seems to have run off its rails gets repaired, to setting up regular maintenance for home cleaning, carpet deep clean, all different kinds of things. We've done, you know, of course we do regular stuff like making sure that the dry cleaning gets, you know, dry clean, that all gets taken care of, and the pets get walked. But we also plan parties. We do a lot of relocation, so we pack and unpack people, and we really just help them manage their lives.
Wow. What about within offices themselves, with the executives? Do you kind of help plan their day out, or, you know, some of them will have assistance, but some things that they have to kind of share the responsibility? And do you normally will do something with them as well if, you know, you have this one person's office or two-person office and, hey, we'll split assignments. You do this. However, I want you to do all of this email responding and things like that. Do you go into the virtual assistants as well?
We don't really do the virtual assistant. We would probably subcontract that to a virtual assistant. We don't actually do that, but we would work with, an executive secretary or an executive assistant in an office. We would work with them to coordinate their boss's life so that the executive assistant would handle all of the things that pertain to the office and pertain to you know, making sure that their boss has plane tickets and all the transportation is arranged on a flight and things like that on trips. But we might manage things like making sure that they have reservations in the restaurants wherever they're going. We've even done things. I got a call a few years ago from one of our clients who was a senior VP at a company, and she was traveling with her boss, and she had forgotten her driver's license at home and couldn't get on the plane without her driver's license. And she said, oh, my gosh, can you get me my driver's license. So basically, wow. I had to drop what I was doing and drive to her house. Now, luckily, we had keys to her home. She told me exactly where it was. I brought it to the airport, and she said, "You just saved my trip," because she wouldn't have been able to rent a car. She couldn't get on the plane, and she was traveling with her boss. So that would have really put a crimp in things. So we kind of are the champions of making you look like a rock star.
Wow. So how, you know, for a regular household, I know sometimes it gets overwhelming. You know, running a household is like a full-time job in order to get things done. And you guys come in and help that person to manage their household in one sense, you're saying?
That's
so
right.
Okay, like the lawn people, all, you know, I know they're supposed to come every 2 weeks. Okay, they didn't come this week. You know, you don't have to do that. They just ask you to go do that. Hey, make sure they come on this day. You know, like my wife said, well, I don't want them coming during the week. I want to have fresh yard during the weekend. But then someone has to pick up the phone and call them and to connect with them to make sure that thing gets done. Or we need this from the for insurance company for this and that. So you guys actually do all that legwork for them.
Yeah, but it can even be a bit more complex than that. We even set up home maintenance schedules. So, say for example, you have that lawn care service that's coming every 10 days or 2 weeks to do your lawn. Well, if you also have sprinklers in the spring and the fall, you need to have those blown out, especially if you live in colder states where there's freezing. So that's something that we help arrange so that you don't even have to think about it. We just send you an email in, like, say, March or April saying, we've scheduled your sprinkler blowout for March 13th. Just wanted to let you know that it's happening. We're going to handle it. We will meet them there. So that we're just kind of letting our clients know, hey, we've already taken care of this for you, or it's time, you know, you've had a – it's great that you were able to burn wood in your fireplace all winter, but we want to make sure that your house stays safe, so we're going to have your chimney swept in the spring, and it's scheduled on this date. Just wanted to let you know. If you want us to meet the guy there, we'll do that, or if you want to meet the person there, that's fine too. And so we really give the client a lot of autonomy. They can decide exactly how involved they want to be. We have a lot of clients that travel all the time. They're CEOs or executives of companies. And we also work a lot with retirees, with seniors that just simply aren't interested in maintaining their homes. They'd rather go play golf or hang out with their friends. And they honestly, and so we have one client who said, you know, I've made enough money in my life that I'm going to pay somebody to take care of this stuff now. And that's what we do for him.
Wow. Now, I'm looking at your services on your website, BETTYBRIGADE.com, and make life simpler. And you got organizing, business moving. How in the world you can be really, really organized? I mean, it's like a gift, an art. Everybody can organize. So how you guys put all of these things and organize people like that? I mean, you have like a system in place? And
We do have some systems in place, but we also put our staff through a pretty rigorous training process, and so that we know that we're not sending a disorganized person in to organize our client's life. I mean, that's the most important and first step, is that, you know, making sure that our employees really know what they're doing. The next step is some of our clients are extremely organized. I mean, they are type A personalities. They love to get things done, and they want it done right the first time. And actually, those are our favorite clients. And the reason they're our favorite clients is they tell us exactly what they want. There isn't any wiggle room. There isn't any need to try and figure things out. They tell us exactly what they want. And it's beautiful. The next step down from that are folks that are just overwhelmed. They have a lot going on in their lives, and they just can't manage it all. And that's fine, too. And we love working with those folks because we just got a call from a lady today who said, I'm not around, I'm at school volunteering at my kid's school. I can't get home to walk the dog during the day. I need grocery shopping. I need dry cleaning pickup. I need a shuttle service for my kids between musical appointments. And when we listed, you know, some of the other things we did, she said, oh, my gosh, I hadn't even considered those things. Wow, that's fantastic. So we're trying to stay a step ahead and helping those people understand that it's not just the things they think of, but we're going to help them organize parts of their life that they maybe even hadn't considered.
So when the people is overwhelmed, and just like, for example, you walk into their office, they might have they house pretty much tidy together, you know, typical, most areas are already clean and so forth. There's no effort with that. But if you walk in their personal office, they have mail in the bins. I mean, they know where to find things in that stack, but, you know, they have four barrels of stacks of mails and papers all over themselves, and their desk is just so junky. How do you sit there and sift through that, say, hey, this is what we're going to do? And because I've seen a lot of people like this, and it's like they get so overwhelmed, they just do the things that they need to get done right then and there, and they manage it somehow, but it keeps adding and piling up.
I like to call those people that all they're doing at that point is reacting. Something comes in and they're reacting. They've actually kind of stopped living their life, and they're not even planning anymore. And so, for folks like that, what we do is, we bring it back to what we call a ground zero or a starting point. So we kind of get everything back to a level that they can manage. And then part of the reason why it got that way was that they didn't have a system in place to help them keep all of that paperwork and all of that stuff under control. So we're able to work with them, and everybody's a little different. And I'm actually doing in May I'm doing a teleseminar series with a friend of mine about how you're hardwired and how your hardwiring really affects who you are and how you organize your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so by taking who they are. And here's an example. Okay, so this is a really common thing. We walk into people's homes and they go, I want to organize my home office. And you go, great. And they show us their home office, and it's just a mishmash of stuff. There's wrapping paper, there's kids' toys, there's everything but an office. It's just stacked full of stuff. So by looking at that, typically what happens is I'll say to them, all right, so this is your home office, but clearly you're not using it as a home office. Where do you work? And most people point to the dining room table. And I would say 80% of people end up not using their home office and sitting at the dining room table. And why do they sit at the dining room table? Because the dining room table has a lot of space. It's usually mostly clear. And there's often a beautiful view of, say, the lake in the backyard or a beautiful forest or some beautiful thing that they can look out the window and go, wow, I feel really serene here. And their home office doesn't have that same view. So all of a sudden, they've converted the dining room table into their home office, but that's not really where they want to be. I mean, they wanted to be in their in a real home office, but they've moved to the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, we say, okay, so maybe we should pick a room where you have a better view, or maybe we should reconvert your home office back into what's really an office, and take the kids' toys out, and remove the wrapping paper, and stop making it a dual-use room or a multi-use room, and really convert it into what it's intended to be.
Wow. When you have that, for example, that person who is that disorganized, well, I'm not going to say that disorganized, but do have all these boxes of things, do you set them a paper filing system? Because you know they're going to end up, over time, outgrowing that. Or do you go to the point of, hey, let's go electronic and scan some of these things that you want to preserve and put it into a kind of electronic document, which will free you some space in your office? Do you do it both ways? I know one way would take a while to do, to scan everything and organize it that particular way. But I guess if you do the scanning way, then if you can teach them how to, when something comes in, scan it quickly and file it, then they won't have all the papers in front of them.
It's really up to the client.
Okay.
Some clients are really amenable to that. They think it's fantastic, and they they say, yeah, that sounds great. Then I can just, have everything at my fingertips. I can search it all electronically, and they love the scanning. Other people say, no way, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that. These are usually the people that they don't, these are the people who, they don't want to put their credit card online. They don't have electronic banking, and that's okay. It's just a matter of working with the client that you have in front of you and getting them as comfortable as you can with a system that they will actually use, because the most important part of any kind of organizing or any kind of filing system is, will the client use it? Because the organizer can put in whatever system they want to put in, but if the client doesn't use it, then it didn't work.
Wow. What are some of the strangest things you've been asked to do for your busy clients?
Well, there have been a lot of strange things. Some of them are quite unmentionable, honestly. What I might be better off telling you is some of the strange things we've found in people's homes, because part of what we do is sometimes we're hired. Go ahead.
That's even scarier.
Well, sometimes we're hired by trust officers at banks after a family member has passed. The house is in a trust, and our company is hired to go in and liquidate the estate and sell off as much as we can. And usually the bank trust officer gives us a list of the things that the family members are looking for. And it includes things like stock certificates and insurance certificates, things like that, that most bankers are looking for. But we always come across strange things. And the strangest things, the thing that I personally have found, I was clearing out, it was a hoarder's home, and we were in this lady's house for probably about, I don't know, a month. It was a really big job, and I was clearing out her dresser drawer, and I pulled out this little tiny jar. It was like a baby food jar, and it was full of teeth, teeth that had fallen out of someone's head, and I was like, ooh, yuck, teeth. And then I realized why they'd been saved, because there were gold fillings in all the teeth. And so we were able to take these teeth to a gold salesperson, people who rebuy gold, and sell them on behalf of the family, so that the family got that money that were in the fillings of the gold teeth. And that's pretty strange.
Well, I guess they know the value of gold and silver.
Yeah. So that kind of stuff comes up fairly normally for us. One of my employees found a bag Ziploc bag full of gallstones. And it's not always like human things that we find. We found little clown dolls that look demented and all kinds of funky things that you just go, wow, people really collect a lot of strange things.
Wow. Going to a hoarder's home, I mean, that's like, to me, what I'm seeing on, hopefully that you've gone, the assignments you've taken has gone to that extreme, because some of those places are really, really scary. Have you seen anything really extreme in that case?
Yes. Yes, we have seen some extreme cases. And there's a couple of different ways that we personally work with hoarders. If the person who is the hoarder, if they are still alive and if they are currently living in the space, we actually require that they are under some kind of psychiatric care, because we need someone to be working on the issues that got them there. What I like to say is we need someone to be clearing out their mind and their head while we clear out their stuff.
Okay.
So that there's kind of a dual purpose there. They're in therapy, they're getting help for why they're a hoarder, and then we're bringing their living space back to a base point or ground zero, so that they can start again, and hopefully that they don't start hoarding again. But yes, we have seen extreme cases.
Well, charge extra for that.
we charge by the hour, but we do an estimate before we ever start the job, so the client always knows about how long it'll take.
How things are going for your company and its economy?
Well, we have seen a 30% year-over-year growth for the last 5 years, so we're doing okay.
Wow. So how do you really market yourself? I know you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do any mailings, or how do people hear about you?
Primarily, our marketing is through word of mouth. We have a great client base, and a lot of our clients love to tell their friends and neighbors, and we actually offer a small incentive, a small fee that the client can get if they... So say, for example, Tim, you hired us, and then you recommended us to your neighbor. If your neighbor hired us, you would get 10% off on your next job.
Okay, great. And, of course, all your people are bonded and insured, of course.
Yep, and fully background checked.
Wow. How did you pick the name?
That's actually a really interesting story. We started when I first started the company, it was called My Gal Friday, and
mm-hmm.
I thought that was the best name in the world, and I was so excited about it. And about 3 years in, I got a cease and desist letter from a company in Ohio, and they said, you have to stop using this name. And that was a bad day. I had a stomachache that day. And so I went to my attorney and I said, is this true? Do I have to stop using the name? And he said, no, you're registered in the state of Michigan. You're fine. And I said, well, they're telling me I have to stop doing business. And he said, no, but you can't go outside of the state of Michigan and use that name, or they're going to sue you. And I'm like, oh, great. So I said, what are my options? And he said, well, you can... keep My Gal Friday and in the state of Michigan and use a different name outside of Michigan as you expand, or you can completely change the name of the business. And so I took it to my staff and we kind of brainstormed it, and one of the staff said, well, what if we had a contest to rename the company? And so we had a public contest, and it was in, I think, 3 different newspapers, and it might have even gotten covered on Detroit TV. And we just got a lot of publicity around it. And so what resulted was we got a lot of entries, and we narrowed it down to about 10. And then when we got down to the top 10, we ran it through national background or national name registries, and then narrowed that down to about 3. And then we picked our top 3, and it really turned out that Betty Brigade was the name that we all liked. And so so there was someone here in Michigan who won 8 free hours of service. That was what we gave away.
Wow.
So they got a full day of personal assistance, and they could split it up however they wanted to. So if they wanted to do it over 2 or 3 days, that was fine. But that's what we did. And since then, we now have it registered at the national level, and we have an 800 number that reflects Betty, and I've registered a bunch of URLs that that all have the Betty Brigade, the .com and the .biz and the .net and all of those. So so it was a learning experience, but I never thought that my business was going to grow. When I first started it, I thought it was just going to be a cute little part-time business, and now I employ 14 people.
Wow. So when you did your name search, I'm sure a lot of small businesses are going through the same issue. They might have a name for that particular state, and some of them incorporate in several states. Did you have to trademark your name?
Yes.
Register with the federal government? Okay.
It's not a trademark. A trademark, I didn't trademark my name. I registered my name. And
okay.
You trademark something that has an image with it. And while Betty Brigade has an image, our image is a public domain image. So we can go back and trademark our public domain image with our name, but it's a much longer process and it's pretty expensive. So so that's probably something that we'll do as we expand.
Okay. And how did you do your name search? You just typed it in into a database and...
There's you can Google National Name Registry, and
okay.
And there's a way to search, and you can do that yourself. But if you are going through a name change, especially when you get it down to the top 3, I would strongly suggest that you talk to a trademark or registry attorney,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to run it through a different set of criteria than you can do yourself. And
okay.
So that's what we did is that we got it down to 3 names, and then we took the top 3 names that we picked to our attorney, and then he got it registered. And they register it for, I think it's like 5 years at a time. So we just re-registered our name, and it's good for, till almost, I think, 2020 or something like that.
Good. So... what do people like and appreciate about you and your company?
They like that they can just pick up the phone and we take care of things. We had a lady who she's a CEO of a business here in Michigan, and
mm-hmm.
she's getting married, and so she's I would say probably in her 50s, and so it's not her first marriage, and it's not her future husband's first marriage, but they're combining households. So we're helping her and her future husband decide what they're keeping and what they're not, and we're helping them sell the things that they're not keeping, and then bringing those things into the home, the things they're keeping into the home, and setting up their whole house. And there's also 4 children that are involved in this whole process, so that makes it a little more complicated. But she said to us, she didn't say to me, but she said to one of my managers, this was the best money I've ever spent, because we just took the pressure off of her. All she had to do was say, yeah, I want this, this, and this, and then we handled the rest. So, mm-hmm. So when customers say they like us, it's because we're trying to take care of them in a way that isn't always apparent in the marketplace. Customer service is not always there, And that's really what we strive hard to do, is really anticipate what our clients might want and take care of them. And we actually track when we do something great, and we save our clients money, and we track when we screw up and cost the company money or cost our clients money. And we track all of those things on a weekly basis so that we can really see how it's affecting our bottom line.
Okay. So also you mentioned pet care earlier. Can you talk about the event planning and the wedding planning? Because you just mentioned wedding planning. How extensive that you get into the wedding planning? Are you becoming like a full wedding consultant, or you take care of what some of the details to work with a wedding consultant?
Typically, the client hires us as the wedding consultant. So we're not usually working with an additional wedding planner. We usually are the wedding planner. And in most cases, the client, when they come to us, the bride comes to us and she'll say, I've got, you know, my dress, I have the church, I have a place for the reception, but I need this, 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 and this. And so we go through a full checklist with our bride or with our person that's planning an event, saying, okay, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Do you need this? Is there a theme? You know, just so that we have a better understanding of how they want their day to play out. And then we are typically there to meet vendors, to make sure that things get delivered on time, to make sure that the vendors get paid, all of the kind of things so that the person having the event gets to actually enjoy their event and they're not running around trying to put out fires.
Any plans of franchising in the future?
Actually, that has been the plan all along. And so
we've been
working on that for quite some time. And really the past 2 years has been spent putting systems in place and documents and creating an operations manual and a training manual and creating a duplicatable system so that we can open in other cities. And we're actually working on this right now in another city in Michigan so that we can have 2 to 3 locations already in the pipeline so that when we are looking to grow nationally that we already have a little bit of data.
Is it really difficult in planning to do franchising? You have to get an expert to kind of duplicate your process and legal and accountability and things like that, or how is that process normally handled?
Franchising is complicated. It is expensive, it's complicated, it's time-consuming, and it is not for the faint of heart. So I would definitely say that if you think you got a great idea and somebody's already done it, I would say go copy them and make a better mousetrap. There currently is no concierge and personal assistance company out there that has franchised. And so we're kind of blazing a new trail. And so that's been really, really tricky because there's no one to say, oh, yeah, this is how you do it, or this is how this other company has done it. I do have people that are franchisors that are my mentors that work in other industries, but they're, you know, it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Okay.
Because their business is different. But franchising is complicated. You do need really expert legal assistance. You do need a great franchise accountant, not a regular business accountant. You need people who really have walked down this path before. It's important.
Wow. Anything you'd like to close with? Advice that you would give a person, of course, you know, that if they can come to you eventually in the future for franchising, if they come to you to hire you, any advice you would give a person who's starting out in business?
Well, I'd, I'd probably, if you were just starting out in business, I would make sure that it's something that you really, really love and that you're not pursuing it just for the money. Because any business owner will tell you that there's plenty of times that they don't get paid for things. And so you better love it, because if you're doing it for free, you really better love it. other than that, I would say perseverance. There's going to be ups and downs for everyone, mm-hmm. and any business owner that tells you that everything's going great all the time is lying to you. So there's always up and there's always downs, and the business owner that takes their downs and figures out how to get around them, then those are the people who survive.
Wow.
And so that's really the best I got.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on to the program to tell us about your company. And just to recap real quick, and what's your website address?
It's www.bettybrigade.com.
And how can they contact you?
That would be the best way, bettybrigade.com, or they can call our toll-free number, 888-742-BETTY.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on the program. I really appreciate you taking the time and talking to us about your business.
Well, thank you, Tim. It was really a pleasure being here.
Great. Thank you again. Take care.
Thank you.
Take care. This has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes, a podcast, or Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.